Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for giving us another privilege to come to your house. Thank you for your blessings upon us during the visits of your two servants. Lord, thank you for your blessings, Master. Thank you for, since then, your grace has led us out and brought us in. And even today, we have found same grace of yours. And you have helped us in our activities. And you have brought us to your presence to fellowship with you. The very purpose why you have created us. We thank you. We honor you, Lord, for everything you have done. We commit ourselves to you once again. As your prophet told us that our souls cannot be too heavy. Lord, we are mortals. You are the immortal one. You are the potter that mostly clay. We pray that as we have come before you again, that you continue the work of beating until all dross are taken away from us, that we might truly reflect you and might grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let nothing stand between us and you as we surrender that, Lord, you will inspire your word to our hearts. You will anoint the same by your spirit. And in time of prayer, you will send inspiration upon us to pray. Heavenly Father, as becoming saints of God, with strong faith in our hearts, Lord, to believe that everything that I wish I ask you, we will receive answers, and praises and honor will be yours. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let your name be glorified in the service. Those still on their way, Lord, bring them here safely. Thank you for the rain of the day that has stopped and is not disturbed. We pray that you take glory. Help us as we commit the service to you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. God bless you. We welcome ourselves to our Wednesday prayer meeting as we open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. Read from verse 1 to 9. Simon Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides these, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. We are grateful to the Lord again for another privilege that we have to come before him again. It's a great opportunity to come before the Lord every time that we have the opportunity. And so we thank him for that. So we continue this evening with our the statue of a perfect man, but we'll be looking at godly knowledge still, while we go a little further into it, believing that Lord will draw a blessing for us still. God bless you. You can please open the sermon, the statue of a perfect man. Paragraph 160. And then, thirdly, you had knowledge. Knowledge. Now, that doesn't mean worldly knowledge, because that is foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge. Judge what? Right from wrong. Judge, to judge right from wrong, how do you judge it then? If you got Christian knowledge with your virtue and faith, you judge whether the word is right or wrong. And if you can lay aside all your creeds and all your unbelief, everything that you claim you have done, then you have knowledge to believe that God cannot lie. That's godly knowledge. That's a spiritual knowledge to believe that God cannot lie in the face of any circumstance, any situation, any challenge that might come against God's word. As long as the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, it is done. For God, it is done. And that is why the prophet made us to know that, you know, when it comes to divine healing, let me just drop that here, as that came to my mind. The prophet said there are two problems that divine healing has, and that's time and sight. Time and sight. You are seeing it. And then it's not, you know, it's not quickly manifesting as you expected. You know, that's why those are the worst enemy that that faces divine healing. The people that are prayed for, the Bible says that is any be sick among you when hands are laid on them, they'll be forgiven if they have sins, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And will be healed of their infirmities. That's the word of God. But before that takes effect, it might take time. So that is why, but as long as the Lord God has spoken it, and the individual has believed it. So, and that is why, for that word to materialize, the word God has spoken, the individual must believe it. For them. Because unbelief cannot hinder God. So whatever God has said will come to pass. Praise be to God. So it is to have an understanding that what God has said, he cannot lie. It is not possible for God to lie, because there is no darkness in him. Everything about him is the truth. Praise be to God. So last week we were talking, and I was going to look at the characteristics of this knowledge that we talk about. And one of these that we identify is what I want to emphasize, you know, before the time moves us out of here. I mean, stops us from this part. And that knowledge stabilizes the believer. It stabilizes the believer. There might be, now, for instance, if you have spiritual knowledge, if somebody comes up and somebody has preached something that is not properly placed, you will not be bothered if you have godly knowledge. Godly knowledge will place what has been said you won't be confused at all. But somebody who doesn't have that will be confused. I will say, I worry about this area. I worry about this area. Especially when there are scriptures that look contradictory. And that's why people cannot marry Matthew chapter 20, the last chapter, 28, where Jesus Christ commanded the disciples going into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then the disciples on the day of Pentecost, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason denominations this taste with baptizing the titles of Son, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is because they lack this knowledge that we are talking about. They are not able to marry it together. And that's why they are not able to see that it's only one God. They will see one sitting on the throne, and another place they will see this, another place they will see something different, and will say that, look, there are three persons, John. That's why that great superintendent, general superintendent of one particular denomination, made up his mind to say that God, three distinct individuals, personality, recognizable, distinct personality that you can recognize. They have their entity. And, that godly knowledge that we are talking about is lacking. So a believer will not be confused about that. Praise be to God. So quickly, let us move to this part. The life of Job before us here, let's look at the Searching of God, preaching 1859, January 25. Before we, go further on certain things there. Paragraph 64. The Searching of God. Just look for the year. Year is 59:01-25. Are you there? All right. Paragraph 64. And I'm going to read that if you are not done. But when you openly confess that God is the God and your life applied in his hand to be, Lord, I am the clay, thou art the potter, then ask what you will, faith will never move, it will stand right there. Though circumstances will seem to fall from right and left, but that faith never moves. Like we said on last Wednesday, that knowledge feeds on faith. Without the revelation of the word, you don't have knowledge. Knowledge is built upon virtue, and virtue is built upon faith. So knowledge feeds on faith. If you don't have spiritual knowledge, if you don't have revelation of God's word, you don't have spiritual knowledge. And if you don't have knowledge, you don't have understanding. Because you must have knowledge of a thing before you now have an understanding. You go and read Proverbs. Alright. Those circumstances will seem to fall from right and left, but that faith never moves because you are certain that he is God. And if he is God, he keeps his promise. He can't make a promise and break it. If he is God, you can't make a promise. So knowledge, godly knowledge tells you that this God, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, he cannot fail. He can't make a promise and break it. If he's God, he's got to keep his promise. Oh, I love that. He's got to stay with it. Job made his offerings. He made his offerings. He done everything. He knew that he was right. Now, the reason we are looking at Job here is because, you know, apart from the fact that the devil moved God to, you know, allow Satan to touch Job and his things, his friends as well came to accuse him of being a secret sinner. That would have been enough for Job to be weak too. When everything was destroyed, you will see godly knowledge displayed in the life of Job by saying, God give it and God take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't charge God foolishly, because he had an understanding that if God gives, God can take. It's not people that will curse God and say, all that I've labored, and you allow enemy to come and destroy it, and you allow this to happen, where is your face gone? And he's in Yoruba, challenging God. Why did you allow this to happen to me? I have served you this, I've done this, I don't know this, what you're going to repay me, what you're going to... Many people say those things because they lack knowledge, godly knowledge. They may have knowledge of the world, but this godly knowledge we're talking, they don't have it. All right, let's move on, because there's some other things I want to... Job made his offering, he done everything, he know that he was right. And here come the church members by some of the churches of other denominations, said, Job, you might as well confess that you are a sinner. For God wouldn't let you be punished like this unless you were a sinner. Job knew that it was a trial. He knew that he was not a sinner. Of course, he wasn't bluffing. He wasn't being hypocritical. He knew his life. He knew what Jehovah demanded was the blood, the offering, which we have just read. He made this offering. He killed the animal for his children, and not to, it won't be for his children alone, for himself too. Constantly, the blood was always before him. He knew that. So when they were coming to him to come and accuse him and say that you are a secret sinner, this thing that you are passing through, a righteous man cannot suffer like this. So Tofunwa, after all, we are your church members. So Tofunwa, tell us the truth. We will intercede for you so that God will be merciful to you. You have sinned somehow. There's something you must have done. God is not wicked to come and afflict a righteous man. Job told them, I have not sinned. He began to tell them about God. God can kill, he can make alive. He's the one that puts in the position. He's the one that removes from position. He's the one that does this. That was why God said, these three people have not spoken about him like Job. So which means Job spoke about God satisfactorily. Knowledge will not make us to charge God foolishly. It will stabilize us in any circumstance. And that's why it will make us to know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. Godly knowledge will tell us that. Praise be to God. And that's displayed here. You know where he was standing? Then everything went on, just on and on and on, just as Asatiku, trying to damn Job and to bring Job to a place that he would deny God and deny that burnt offering. To say that that means that the offering that I've been rendering is not effective. Then what's the use of serving God? And the devil wanted that to be so strong in the life of Job, he sent his wife to him, anointed her. And say, you're suffering like this. This suffering is too much. You've been an honorable man before, but now, everybody that used to come to your place now, they don't come any longer. If you study Job, Job was the man of wisdom. That elders will stand up where Job will be passing. Where he will be talking. Taking counsel from him. And many other things. But when things happened to him, what was the condition? He was deserted. And that's the manner of human beings. Because God was dealing with Job. God wanted to take glory in the life of Job. The God that made Job concluded without taking permission from Job. And he didn't charge Job and said that after Job got to understand, he still knew that God owned him. That God could do with him whatsoever he willed. Praise be to God. So, just trying to down Job and to bring Job to a place that he would deny God and deny that burnt offering. The very minute you take action upon anything that you confess, it shows your weakness, your doubt of God. You ask God for anything and walk around doubting it, then you are a doubter and not a believer. Job knows where he stood and is too firm on that foundation. No wonder Perilous said, in his dying hour, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. On that solid rock of Job's confession, even his beloved wife walked out when his head was gone and the boils was all over him, and he scraped himself and caused the day that he was born. He said, may the sun not even shine, rather than denying God. He said, why? I will have my mother will have had miscarriage of me. This pain is too much. This sorrow is much. This can, but still, he did not say, God, why did you put this on me? What have I done? He didn't charge God foolishly. God that spoke about Job knew the quality that was in Job. Because God has confidence in his believing children. On that solid rock of Job's confession, even his beloved wife woke up when his head was gone and the boils was all over him, and he scraped himself and caused the day that he was born, said, may the sun not even shine, may the moon stay down at night. His wife said, Job, you are so miserable. Why don't you curse God and die? He said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. Still in that condition, he could have reasoned. He could have. That is why the prophet said, godly knowledge does not reason. What he reasons is that he uses the word of God as a filter. A thinking man's filter, a holy man's taste. So everything that comes to him, a man that has godly knowledge, he will filter it with God's word. And when he filter, it's just like you have just grinded your yam into flour, or your corn, you soaked it and you want to turn it into pap. You know? You just carry it from the mill, and then you go to. Will you start, put water on the fire and take out of it and begin to prepare it? You are going to drink shaft. But the shaft is even the better part of Ugi. Because it's fiber. I'm telling you the truth. The fiber that we give to the goat is the better part of the corn. The other one is carbohydrate. So I've thought of it. Look at it as a human being. Yeah, if you want to, we process it. It's a processed food. Yeah, it's a processed food. So when you eat corn, you eat the whole thing. You eat the whole thing. And many of us know Abari now. Abari. Can I see your hand up? You know Abari. I know the adults here will know Abari. Take both of your biole. Okay, among us that know Abari, can somebody tell me what they used to do Abari? You very chorus answer. I said, among us, somebody. I wanted to know whether somebody, you have let out the answer now. Is corn. Not hard corn, no. This fresh corn that is not too fresh. They'll take it to the mill, grind it with the shaft. So that's a perfect something. So they will use leaf to, or you use this milk tin you put it there and cook it like mama. So that way we eat it. Let us be eating it. It's very good. Oh yes, maybe mama ni. Every condiment is that. That's good. Praise be to God. And so here we are speaking that Job knew where he stood. He didn't accept accusation from the people because he knew what God had promised in his word. Praise be to God. And that is why we see also this godly knowledge displayed. Job displayed it, even though his wife came around to tell him this and this and this and this. No. Job had an understanding. He knew that it was a time of trial. And that is why the prophet made us to know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. You will know that they also have godly knowledge. When the king challenged them and said, what? You wouldn't bow down to the gods that I've established and to my image? You won't worship? If you don't do that, I'm going to head the fiery furnace 7 times. I will increase its capacity 7 times. And you'll be thrown into it. They look at the king and say, well, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. You'll see godly knowledge display in the life of these three. What's godly knowledge? It recognizes the absoluteness of God. That God can do what he likes. And when they were answering, he said, well, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. The God that we serve is able to deliver us from your fire. And if not, in other words, if God chooses not to deliver us and you will carry us, we will still not bow down, burn to us and throw us in the fire. Godly knowledge balances it. So they are not cornered. They were threatened by the king, they also threatened him. They threatened the king by telling him that, look, we know the God that we serve. Our life is in his hand. He can deliver us if he wills. And if he does not will, if he wants us to die through this process, so be it. For your image, forget it. There's no worshiping. We don't worship. We only worship Jehovah. And God came to vindicate them. Hallelujah. Godly knowledge stabilizes the believer according to Ephesians chapter 4. We have Abraham. Can you please project that before we reap few things from the seven church ages? Abraham, the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 made us to know that he gave gifts unto men. Some gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. Move on. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Yes.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried away about with every word of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Godly knowledge stabilizes us. Winds of doctrine blowing here and there wouldn't bother you. Sleight of men will be exposed to you. Because when you have godly knowledge, it stabilizes you. It gives you some level of discernment of things, because you are going to use, you have the knowledge of God's word. You are going to use it to filter. You use it to discern. In the sermon, discerning body of the Lord, the prophet told us that God's word is used to measure everything that the believer does. So, for you to be able to use the word of God to measure every situation, every circumstance, you need the knowledge of that word. Not the letter. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. We're talking about the life of the world.
having the knowledge of it to apply it in a situation. And what we are talking here is just the application of that knowledge. How it's reflected in our life, how it shows that we have this godly knowledge. So it won't destabilize us. You hear somebody misbehave this way. Ah, he's a brother. And this and this and this. It won't bother you. Because you know the Bible says there are three kinds of believers. And the prophet says there are three kinds of believers. Godly knowledge will tell you that. So it will make you to place everybody where they belong. That will not be a stumbling block to you when you have godly knowledge. There won't be any stumbling block to you. You'll be solid because you are growing. You are growing in Christ. Thank God it's not too far away. So all other things will be built on it. Amen. Let's come to Sumaina. Then you just search for this one. Now the Lord God Almighty says, I know. Sumaina Church Age. That's the third church age. Are you there? Now the Lord God Almighty says, I know. There he is walking in the midst of his people. Now, this word I know, the prophet, of course, below this, what we are about to read, there the prophet made us to know that every age has it. And if you look at the first church age, the second church age, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, I know thy works. Every one of them, God addressed them like that. So I know thy works. Abraham now brought this out. Now the God Almighty says, I know. Picking that I know from the phrases, I know thy works. I know thy works. Or the clauses, whatever I want to place it, the English people here. So, I know thy works. So the Almighty God says, I know. There he is walking in the midst of his people. There he is the chief shepherd of the flock. But does he hold back the persecution? Does he stem the tribulation? No, he does not. He simply says, I know your tribulation. I'm not at all unmindful of your suffering. What a stumbling block this is to many people. You see, it's a stumbling block to many people for God to say, I know your tribulation, I know what you are suffering, I know, and then you are not doing anything about it. Are you watching me suffering? What a stumbling block this is to so many people. Like Israel, they wonder if God really loves them. How can God be just and loving if he stands by and watches his people suffer? That is what they asked in Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, said the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, said the Lord. Yet I love Jacob, and I hate Esau. And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, they could not figure out God's love. You see, they thought that love meant no suffering. They thought love meant no suffering. So by godly knowledge, we get you to know that whatever that song that says for I know who I believe. Can you give us that song? For I know, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. So give us a song. Let me pick. I think 4:7. Thank you. Just look at the wordings there. He says, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. Now, second stanza. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Christ through the word, creating faith in him. Now, look at this one. I know not what of good or what or heal may be reserved for me. That godly knowledge. This person that composed it knows that it's either is for good or for worse. For better or for worse, rather, Abby. You know, it's for better or for worse. I know not what of good or evil may be reserved for me, of weary ways, or what? Or golden days, before his face I see. He's prepared. Whatever comes, whatever goes, I am in his hands. You see, these songs that we carry, they are messages that corroborate the sermon, that corroborate the Bible. If we can link them together. Praise be to God. Let me just read this away. By God's grace, we continue. Alright? They thought that love meant no suffering. They thought that love meant a baby with parental care. But God said that his love was selective love. The proof of his love is election. That no matter what happens, his love was proven truly by the fact that they were chosen unto salvation, because God has chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He may commit you to death as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffering as he did Job. That is his prerogative. May the Lord be our blessing. Let's bow our heads and go to God in prayer.
In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. I will invite our pastor to come and pray for us. If you have any desire, just make it known to God.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne again at this hour, Lord, with requests in our lives, after we have heard your word. Lord Jesus, we pray, O God, as you have promised, that if these virtues be in us and they abound, we will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Master and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, Father God, that you let these virtues be in us, Lord. May they abound, O Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray particularly for concerning this knowledge that I be emphasized, O God, godly knowledge. As we travel through this life journey, Lord Jesus, every step we take, whatever you permit to come our way, may we not listen to the whispering of the devil. May we know that you love us. And because you love us, O God, whatever you permit to come our way, it will work together for our good. Thank you, righteous Father. As I up among your children from on the altar, Lord, whatsoever might be their heart desire that they are looking unto you for, may you answer prayers, Lord. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. We're going to pray as we pray. You inspire us to pray as we commit your children. Thank you, Savior. Bless yourself at once again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing from 180. Close to thee.
Everlasting portion, more than friend, all life to me. All along, my pilgrim took on thee. Close to thee, close to thee, my Lord, close to thee. All alone, I've been returning, save your living one with thee. Oh, boy, it's Dara, may I
our kind Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this privilege we have to be in your house for the midweek service. We are grateful unto you for bringing us, and we thank you for the worship aspect of the service. We thank you for the scriptures we read and also the preaching of your word. Dear Lord, since your prophet has told us that these virtues, they have the natural ones and then the spiritual ones which are given by your spirit. Lord, majority of the people in the world are full of worldly wisdom with which they run the affairs of life. Oh Lord, when it comes to dealing with you and your word, a Christian has need of godly knowledge. We pray that you give to everyone their Father, especially as many as are seeking for the Holy Spirit, since without the Holy Ghost this can never be there. May you touch each person, dear Father. Anoint them, Lord, their faith. And quicken, Lord, your word unto them. They will become alive. And Lord, from henceforth they begin to live and live for you. Grant it, dear Father. Lord, those that you have given, we definitely need more of it, dear Father. May we grow from strength to strength and from grace unto grace. Lord, that the people of the world and fellow believers that come in contact with us, they will be able to behold your grace in our life and they will be drawn closer unto you. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you for the prayer requests that we have committed into your hand, both the written ones and those on the slide, and those that we have as individuals that we have committed into your hand. Before we asked, you knew them. You knew what we asked, and you have provisions for every one of them, as long as they are according to your word. Lord, that grace that we have need to know that it is over after we have done your part, because you are not a failure nor a disappointment. Give it unto us, dear Father. Put the right expectation in our heart. Anytime the enemy might want to suggest anything negative, may the Holy Spirit rub it off, O God. We pray, dear Father, that day by day, our meditation will be your promises. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. We pray, O God, the rest of the week, may your grace abide with us. Those of us traveling, may you be with us. May you protect us. And Lord, see us through the purpose of the journey, may they be accomplished in righteousness. Lord, we pray for your children, Lord, workers, business people, students. May you watch over everyone, and may your blessings constantly be our portion. May the sick be strong and healthy. May you quicken the weak to be strong. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Be with us as we return back to our homes. You brought us safely, take us back home safely. Pray for your servant that have taken the service once again, that you will replenish him a little on the honor of his ministry. Thank you, dear Father. Be with your children on Sunday here, and the rest of us, wherever we be, may your presence be with us, Lord. May the service, the tape service on Friday, may also be a blessing to us. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. We thank the Lord for making a way for the pastor of Sapele Church to be with us tonight. Yeah, we made the announcement as we discussed officially in your absence, because there was no since you will not be here on Sunday, we had to do it in your absence. So, that is the pastor of the Evening Light Tabernacle, Sapele. Yeah. And as we have said, he's going to be going back and forth for now until they finally settle there. And I'm sure
request for our prayers all the time, not just in the prayer meetings, but all the time when we pray, as you remember in our prayers. God bless you. Brother Isaac Doku, the minister that came in weekend to preach to us, when he got back to Accra Monday evening, he called and sent greetings to the church to appreciate the opportunity to be with us and our effort to also host him. God bless you. This Friday, by the grace of God, we'll be playing tape. Though it's the last Friday of the month, but we'll be playing tape for a couple of reasons. That day itself, let everybody watch their movement, because some roads are going to be blocked. God has a coronation day for the new Olubad of Ibadan. The federal advance team are already in Ibadan, because the president himself is going to be around, and several dignities across the country, and they will feed the town. And I don't know whether even they are going to declare holiday for students or whatsoever. So they are already talking about road closures, and the other road that are now closed will be more congested then. So plan your movement and the time so that you be at an area where you will not be seriously disturbed. Yes, Radipo will be on his way again to Sapley tomorrow, and while we take off for Port Harcourt for the funeral service in respect of Sister Chris Oyema that I announced earlier. The Lord willing, I'll be back on Monday. Convert your prayers. God bless you. Shall we rise? Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe.
In the name of Jesus we, O child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort thee, if you take me, then where are you, O precious day, precious. God bless you. Be with you to meet again. Oh, how sweet, oh, perfect.